praising, exalting the name of our Lord and our Savior. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse in your hearing and we're going to get right into the message today. So good to see you all out today on the first day of this new year. God has been mighty good to all of us. Amen. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Bow with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We praise your God for your majesty, your sovereignty, your glory, for your faithfulness to us, O Lord, and how, your God, you kept us that we might see this a new year. And then, Lord, you'd allow us to rise up this morning and come to the house of worship. And we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Truly, O Lord, you are worthy. Now, Lord, as we look into the word this morning, we pray that you would speak, O Lord, that we may hear from heaven. Save the unsaved. Strengthen those who are saved. Bless the church, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about knowing God's will for his children. Or you might say the five S's of God's will. And actually, there are six S's we're going to talk about this morning related to the will of God for his children. I pray that everyone had a safe and enjoyable, fun-filled Christmas and a good New Year's Eve. And it's so good to see you all here this morning. But as we reflect on Christmas, a critical part of Christmas, the reason for the incarnation or the birth of Jesus Christ, amen, has to do with understanding why Christmas, why Christ had to come. And certainly it was greater, it was bigger than just us exchanging gifts and doing the things that we did on December 25th. I believe that God had a larger plan in mind when he sent his son into the world. Amen. He had a greater plan for you and for me because we are the children of God. And I believe that plan had to do with, and bring me down just a little bit, you all, had to do with revealing who he is and then revealing his will for our lives to us that we might truly know and understand the will of God. And I do want to say, just as we begin in the introductory part of the message, that God has an ultimate will for all of us, and that is that each one of us is conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the other wills that he has for each of us that is uniquely ours is designed to all bring us to that same destination, but they're not going to be, our experience is not going to be typical in every way. The end should be the same. But how God gets us there has various roads and various experiences that bring us to that point of being like Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I know that the road God brought me down is not the same road that he brought Donnie down. It's not the same road that he brought Herb down or Dave or, or Pete, or many of you, but he brought us down roads that have brought us to this juncture where he has shown us his will and is continuing that work that he has begun in each of our lives. Amen. And he does have a will for each and every one of us. And we need to understand what God's revealed will is for us. And that will can only be recognized or known through relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't know the will of God for your life unless you know Jesus Christ. Amen. And God wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his plan for all of our lives. See, it's easier to get where you're going if you know the way. Amen. See, you know, you can know you want to go to California, but if you don't know the way to California and you're driving, you might end up in Washington State. Amen. You can start out west, but it don't mean you're going to end up in California, because you're just going in a westerly direction. But God wants us to know his will for each of our lives. And how can we know God's will for our life? That's a great question. And I can answer it simply by saying that God's will for each of our lives is contained in his holy word. Amen. It is clearly revealed in the word of God. Amen. Let me say this. All of God's word contains God's will. It contains prohibitions, those things that we shouldn't do, and it contains admonitions, those things that God is encouraging and commanding you and I to do as his children. So as we look into the word of God, we can see and know and understand what God's will is for our lives. Now, first of all, God wants us to be saved. Above all other things, God wants us to be saved. And when you look at 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so you have to be careful about that word saved, because there are people who use it often in a non-biblical context. They think because they have a cross hanging around their neck, that makes them saved. They think because they go to church every now and then, that makes them saved. That they think that because somebody told them that they were a good person, that makes them saved. But salvation is only in the name and relationship with Jesus Christ. Now God, his integrity supersedes and surpasses that of all who have ever lived and all who are currently living right now. God's integrity, and therefore the writer says that God is not slack concerning his promise. God is not slow. Amen. God is not late concerning his promise, but God is moving in his own time to bring to pass his promise of judgment for the whole world. Amen. And with that, we have to understand that God is long-suffering, that he is patient towards you and I. God has promised, and his promise will come to pass, but God is tremendous and has a tremendous capacity as it relates to tolerance, as it relates to being patient to release his wrath against mankind. God is able to endure blasphemies and all types of acts of sin against him and against his name because he's patient and he is long-suffering. And see, sometimes our children may wonder where we get it from, but we get it from the Lord. See, I can remember when I was a boy and I was cutting up and acting crazy, Daddy said, "I'm going to get you." The day would pass and I said, "Phew, I got off." A week would pass and I'm home free now. And then one night he walk in, flip the light switch on, and go to work on me. One of these days, God's going to flip the light switch. His forbearance is going to run out. His patience with our foolishness is going to run out. Amen. And then all those offenses that God, in spite of all those offenses, God deals with them because he still wants all to be saved. He doesn't want any to perish. And therefore, the scripture says that God is patient, that he is long-suffering. And see, you have to understand who the any that should perish is, and those are those who God will has already called for salvation and one day will bring into the kingdom. That's not a general anybody in the world, because you know God elected us, God chose us to be a part of his family before the foundation of the world. So God's waiting for some saved folks to come on and get saved. Oh, y'all missed that one. Yeah, see, he already saved them. They just got to come and confess him so they can be saved. Amen. And in doing so, God wants to complete the list of the redeemed. He wants to complete the list of those who are his blood-bought children, those who will come to know him because of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants to save us because one day he's going to destroy this world. He's going to destroy the wicked. And he's just saying, I'm holding my wrath until those who I've called, those who I've elected have come to salvation. God wants you and all of us who know Christ and who he has chosen to be saved. The second S is God wants us to be spirit-filled. In Ephesians 5:17-18, it says, therefore, not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And the admonition is, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but be understanding. Be wise and know what God's will is for your life. And see, knowing the will of God, as I said earlier, comes through his word. And it is through the understanding of his word that you and I can recognize and know the will of God for our specific lives. And literally, the Bible, I believe when he says, don't be drunk with wine, he means don't be drunk with... See, some people just say, well, he didn't say I couldn't have no scotch. Can't have no rum. No. God, that is a reference to alcohol. And it doesn't say... It just says, don't be what? Don't be drunk. Don't be out of your mind because of what you're consuming that alters your ability to think clearly and to honor God. Now, simply, God wants us to walk in a way that glorifies him. Be filled with the Spirit. And literally, it means to be under the control, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the power of the Word of God operating in our lives. It is tantamount to walking upright and in the Spirit every day. Now, when the Bible says that we should walk in the Spirit, it literally is a visible thing. Now, let me say it again, because some of y'all don't believe this. When he says, be filled with the Spirit, which is tantamount to walking in the Spirit, it is a visible thing. Now, and I'll tell you why. It is because God used it as part of the criterion for the office of the deacon. If you go over to Acts chapter 6, verse 3, and you can open your Bibles if you like. It says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. If it wasn't a visible reality, how would they have known who to choose? Now, y'all come on now. Y'all help me out, because maybe I missed something. It had to be something about those men's lifestyle, how they were walking, how they were living, how they were talking, how they were allowing God to operate in their lives, that made it undisputably clear that these men are filled with the Spirit of God. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. I'm going to leave y'all alone with that one. See, because some people think all it does is make you jump and shout and talk and do things in church. But it does more than that, because when you're filled with the Spirit, it will help you control your tongue. And that's visible as well. Because, see, when you know somebody has a short fuse and somebody lights it, and the Spirit of God is working in that person, they'll say, "Lord, hold my tongue." And you'll see them smile and roll on. You know, if you have been going down the street and for no apparent reason somebody just flips you off. Now, when you can say "God bless you" and smile and not say some of that other stuff we used to say, you know the Spirit of God is operating in your spirit. Amen. God wants us to be filled, living under the control of the Holy Spirit at all times, consistently controlled by His Spirit. Then the third one is that God wants us to be sanctified. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "But this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." The life pleasing to God, amen, is a sanctified life. And sanctification is that state of being spiritually set apart for God's own special use. Amen. It is being set apart from sin unto holiness, where God can be glorified through the life of that individual. It means that one is holding themselves from those immoral acts that cause division between us and God. Now, let me give you a quick analogy. Y'all see it advertised on TV all the time. And y'all know what whitening strips are, don't you? Those things that people put on their teeth to make them whiter. Amen. Now, with whitening strips, you put them on and then you take them off. And then you put them on, and you take them off. You put them on, and you take them off. You put them on, and you take them off. Until the tartar or the yellowness that's on your teeth is gone. And it could be from eating, it could be from drinking, or maybe even from smoking. But it takes long-term application in order to get the desired effect. It doesn't happen from one application. Amen. You have to keep using them things every day if you want your teeth to stay shiny and white. If it's that way with whitening strips, it confounds me. How so many Christians, amen, believe that one worship will carry them for such a long time. Amen. You know, we go 1 week being diligent in our service and our work for Christ, and we expect it to carry us a long time. We look for long-term impact from short-term effort. Well, let me help y'all this morning. But I want you to understand very clearly that salvation is an act. Sanctification is a process. Let me say it again. When you get saved, it is an act of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, that brings you from here into the family of God. But sanctification, you have to keep doing what God has commanded every day of your life until you are ultimately conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. It takes time and consistent effort, and sanctification is the process that God employs to form us into the image of His Son. Now, that we have been saved, we are spirit-filled, and we are sanctified, God wants us to be satisfied. Luke 6:38. Given, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, satisfaction comes through the blessing and benefit of obedience to the Word of God. Jesus said, what? Give, and it will be given to you. But look how it's going to be given to you. By giving, you will what? Receive. By walking in obedience to the Word of God and allowing God to have control, you can experience true satisfaction in your life. I don't know who sang that song, Can't Get No Satisfaction. But I know we all used to jam to it. But I just want you to know this morning, you can have satisfaction in your life by obeying the word of Almighty God. Now, the choice is that we have to choose between momentary and sustained satisfaction. Because so often we get caught up in the moment, and we let the moment take control, and we lose sight of the long-term objective. There was a man who had got lost out in the desert, and he was wandering around out there, and he was thirsty, and he was about at his life's end, and he topped a little mound, and he saw an old run-down shack. And he was almost exasperated, and if I can just make it to the shack. And he got in there and he opened the door and he saw a little jar of crystal clear water sitting in there. And he was so thirsty. And he walked over to pick up the water. And when he did, he saw a note on the floor. And the note said, pour the water in the pump. And when you're satisfied, fill the bottle and leave it for the next person who may come this way. So he immediately was confronted with a dilemma. If I drink this water, it's only going to last for just a little while. If I pour it in the pump and there's no water in the well, I'm going to die of thirst. But the note said, prime the pump and drink until you're satisfied and then fill the jar. I just want you to understand that priming the pump
is our way as believers of priming God's pump of blessing. That by giving, he has promised that he'll give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over, so we can choose, do we want momentary or do we want long-term sustained satisfaction? We got to make a choice as to whether we want to keep living for now or do we want to live for heaven. It will be given back to you according to the word of God. It'll be pressed down, shaken together, running over, is going to be put in to your bosom. And if you really want to experience true satisfaction in this Christian life, prime the pump. Prime the pump and see what God will do. I was standing out here the other day with Mr. Richardson and his wife, and we were talking and about the goodness of the Lord. And don't you know, being a faithful steward of God, we laugh because we both agree that God has never left us short. We've always had what we needed and more. But you know what? Having received that blessing from God every Sunday, I primed the pump. Oh, y'all got it. See, you got to trust God in order to have long-term sustained satisfaction. And then the fifth one is that we need to be serving the Lord. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Christian life is a life of service. And whatever worth doing is worth doing with enthusiasm and excitement for God. We ought to have joy. David said, I was glad when I came to the house of the Lord. Amen. And lagging and indifference, amen, it prevents, not only prevents good, it allows evil to flourish. Now, I thank God I'm not talking about none of y'all. But see, lazy, slowful, do nothing Christians that attend stay-at-home Baptists on a regular basis, they give the Church of Jesus Christ a bad name. But we have to understand that God called us not to sit on the seat of satisfaction, but to serve him, to be busy doing those things that are going to give him glory and impact the lives of other men and women for the kingdom of God. It tells us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, which is displaying a passionate, intense, burning, contagious, amen, hot, glowing display of our excitement about worshiping and serving God. Now, most of us can recognize and remember, and I know Pastor Trey can sure help y'all with this one. You know how when you walk up to the stove and the burner is not glowing, but it's hot, you feel the heat, don't you? Yeah. Tracy, because his mama said, get away from the stove. And one day he walked up there. And it was on because it was some hollering, some screaming, staying up all night because that burner lit him up. But it's obvious when you walk up and you see that red glow coming through the glass that thing is hot, is it not? And it gets your attention because it is glowing red. Amen. Your spirit should be glowing and contagious to the point that other people desire to serve God because of the joy and enthusiasm with which we serve the Lord. So as the fire, God desires that we be serving Him. And then lastly, and I'm going to let y'all go, we need to be saying thank you for God's many blessings, for Him being so good to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now you say, now Pastor, I'm giving thanks, and everything you said sounds good, but I'm not sure. Is it God's? I don't know that this is the person God wants me to marry. Is this the will of God, the person that I'm planning to marry? Or how do I know what school God wants me to attend? Well, I just want to say this, that if you are saved, you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are sanctified, you are serving the Lord, then you ought to be saying, thank you. Amen. You can do whatever you want to do. Oh, wait a minute. Y'all feel like that's a ticket to sin. If you're saved, you're spirit-filled, you're sanctified, what's the next one? Y'all supposed to remember that. Serving the Lord. Amen. And you're satisfied. You can do whatever you want. The psalmist said in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will do what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean He will fulfill the desires that are in your heart? Yes, it does. But let me help you out with one more thing, and like I said, I'm going to let you go. Before He fulfills the desire of your heart, He places it in your heart. See, y'all thought I'm not crazy. Before God fulfills that desire in your heart, He places it in your heart. And if you're living a godly life, He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you're living godly, God will give you what you ask for. See, on my way to worship this morning, I was kind of eavesdropping on a prayer. And Mother was saying, Lord, thank you for letting us be here today on our way to church. And Lord, thank you for blessing our family. And Lord, thank you for giving me good girls. And Lord, thank you for blessing them with saved husbands. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will place the desire in your heart, and then He will fulfill that desire because it is according to His will. God will give you the desires of your heart as long as you allow Him to place them in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that God works just like that, because it's the guarantee that if we pray according to His will, we know what? That He hears us. And if He hears us, we're going to have our petition. But let me go ahead and close. Jesus established a path to glory for the saints. And that path to glory is wrapped up in his exaltation, if you will. For having lived a sinlessly perfect life, he went to Calvary, and there he died for our sins out there on Mount Calvary. And then he was laid in a borrowed tomb, and he rose from the dead on the third day morning. When he rose, he walked around down here, showed himself for 40 days, so there would be no disputing the fact that he did, in fact, rise and come back to life. Then one day he got on a cloud and went back to glory, and there was a coronation in heaven as he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he's not just sitting there doing nothing. He's making intercession for you and I, because we need an advocate with the Father, because sometimes we fall short of the glory of God. Well, that's sure enough good news, but there is more good news, because one of these days we're going to follow him into glory. One of these days, he's going to come back again, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. These old bodies are going to come up out of the grave, be reunited with our spirit, be transformed, amen, and we'll follow him into glory, set on his throne with him, and there will be another coronation in glory. Oh, hallelujah. See, I'm glad this morning that one day our transformation is going to be complete, because on the day we see Jesus, we're going to see him like he is. And when we see him like he is, the Bible says that we're going to be just like him. And the Father's will for you and for me is that one day he can change us completely into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So God's will for this day and the rest of your life is that you are saved, filled, and controlled by his Spirit, that you are going through the process of sanctification, that you are satisfied with your relationship and that which God has given you through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that you are actively working and serving in the body of Christ. And then, because of the goodness and the glory of God, every now and then you look up and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the breath that's in my body. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this place and this station in life where I've got a beautiful wife. I've got five, and y'all have to count your own now. I got five lovely children. I got 9 grandkids and 1 on the way. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? I thank him because I've got my health. I've got my strength. I've got my right mind. Every morning when I turn over, I say, Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, take control. Guide me through this day, Lord. Allow me to be doing those things that will give you glory. And then I can roll over. Tell somebody it's time to get up. And get on with the day the Lord has allowed us to see. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. Rejoice that you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Rejoice that you know heaven is your home. Rejoice that everything you have and enjoy without God, it wouldn't be possible. But God has blessed us all very richly. We have a rich heritage. We have a wonderful life. And we have a dynamic, bright future in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church. There may be somebody.